kids, we're talking with, I'm excited to be talking with him because I've seen the group, saw them at Disneyland many years ago. Gavin Pring is a member of the Fab Four who are coming to the Mesa Arts Center on October 22nd, and he plays the part of George Harrison. It is a pleasure to have you with me, Gavin.
It's a pleasure to be on the show, Steve. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. How did you get started with the Fab Four? And one question, I guess, in particular, does the group rotate members in and out, or is it a stable group? I don't mean stable like, you know, sober or anything like that, but...
Psychologically stable, do you mean? Psychologically speaking. yeah, the group's been around for a while. It was around before I joined. So the group started in 97 with the founding members, Mike Amador, Rolo Sandoval, Ron McNeil, and Ardavan Saraf. And then what happened was there was a show opening up in Vegas around 2005. And so they were auditioning for people to come and play... like in a second cast, and then eventually what happened was we needed some people up in Vegas, so some of the original guys would play up in Vegas, some of the new guys would go on the road, and we just kind of kept that template going. So we have a few guys that rotate in and out, but I will be on the show on the 22nd of October in Mesa.
Ah, excellent. Is that how you came to join the group?
Yeah, because I was performing in Chicago with another group, and so the Fab Four were looking for people, and we're looking again for cast members to come in and audition. And I got the call. Well, actually, I met the guys in Liverpool in 2004, mm-hmm. and they told me about it. They said, do you want to come and audition for our second team? And I said, yeah, right then. So I met them in Liverpool, which was kind of cool because I lived there. And then I came and I had the choice between rainy Liverpool and sunny Las Vegas, and I chose Las Vegas.
Growing up in Liverpool, were you inundated with the Beatles, or what else were you interested in addition to them?
Well, the funny thing was, when I was growing up, so I was born in like 76, so growing up in Liverpool, it was kind of like almost embarrassing at that point to be into the Beatles, because they just kind of left a decade before, mm-hmm. and so there was new music groups coming through, you know, like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and there was loads of bands coming through that were brand new. So if you said, oh, I like the Beatles, you'd be like, yeah, the Beatles, they're so last year. It wasn't hip to be into the Beatles around the 80s and 90s until Oasis came out in around 93, 94, and they just said, oh, we love the Beatles, and then they were kind of like the new Beatles for our generation, and then everyone was back into them. And now, if you go to Liverpool, they've made like a business connection with NCL, which is Norwegian Cruise Lines, and so now it's always full. Liverpool's packed, and I think they've embraced the Beatles a lot more over the last, 20 years than they did the 20 years previous.
Well, there was I was reading about a Beatle Week in Liverpool in 2018, where it was a pretty special moment for you, where you shared the stage with George's first wife, Patty Boyd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the picture now on my wall. So I got asked to play for Patty, and the idea was that she was going to be interviewed, and then she chose 8 songs a couple of months prior to the show that she wanted to talk about. And so about six of them were George songs, and then 2 of them were like just regular Beatles songs. One of them was Bungalow Bill, which I really didn't know why Bungalow Bill would be in the set list. So it was in the set list because she was on it. She sung in the background, hey, Bungalow Bill, yeah, with everyone else. Yeah, so then it made sense to me, that and Dear Prudence. Obviously, she was with the Maharishi, with the guys, at that time when Dear Prudence was written. So, it was a very interesting kind of gig. So she would talk, and then she would mention a song, and then the lights would go off her, and then my band, it wasn't the Fab Four, it was my George Harrison show, and I would play the songs, and then it would go back to her, and she would carry on being interviewed. And I think that format is really a nice... They've done it with Donovan and some other, musicians, Klaus Voormann, and so I think it's kind of a cool addition for a lot of the Beatle, fans that go to Liverpool every year.
When you see the older folks in the audience, these are the folks that actually, grew up at the time of the Beatles. How did they react to you as far as bringing the memories back?
I was never around for a band that was like, you knew the album would be good like every song on the album. There's a lot of, over the recent years, you know, you find one song on an album of 12 to 15 songs that's good and the others are okay. But the Beatles, they would release an album with, you know, 11, 12 songs and you knew every song was going to be great. So I never, you know, it was good for me going backwards retroactively and going through the Beatles albums and just going, how could it get any better than the White Album? And you say, Sgt. Pepper, how can it get any better than that? You hear Abbey Road, you're like, how can it get any better than that? It's just, you know, it's great. But to answer your question regarding the audience, yes, they have something different connected to the songs than I do, which is their own personal lives. And, you know, and I've said it before in radio interviews, sometimes you see people getting younger. Like, you physically see them get younger, so you'll walk in and people are like, you know, baby boomer age. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the show, they're all teenagers. It's awesome.
When the new Beatle releases come out, you know, with the new remixes and the 5.1 surround sound, do you guys grab those up and listen to them to hear even more of what came off the original tapes?
Yeah, usually it'll be Ron. So Ron will get hold of a copy because he's, like, a proper music head. And, you know, obviously when the Rock Band came out, it was really good for people like myself in the Beatles tribute performance side of things, because they isolated some of the tracks which you'd never heard before. And now that I think Revolver's coming out soon, the new remix of Revolver, so I'm going to be listening again and saying, yeah, I've been making a mistake all these years.
Do you have a favorite George Harrison Beatles track?
I think as far as the Beatles, George's Beatles goes, it'll be Here Comes the Sun. I think there's just something that was captured. I mean, you could say that about every Beatles song by any of the Beatles, really. But for some reason, Here Comes the Sun, that take and, you know, just the philosophy of that particular song is very optimistic. You know, it was written just as he must have been depressed. You know, everyone was kind of like, this is the last album we're going to be doing. And he just kind of wrote that song really quickly in Eric Clapton's, you know, back garden and just, he must have just, for some reason, that song is a great song to perform. And when you start the tune, you know, you just, everyone just loves it. You know, we have a kind of an orangey sunlight that comes up when we play that song. And for me, that's the most kind of spiritual song out of all the Beatles songs that he wrote, you know.
How about a favorite George Harrison solo track?
George Harrison solo. Mine's Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth, off the Living in the Material World album. I heard it the first time in South Korea when I was on tour there with another band in about 2002. And that actually came on the radio. And I was listening to it. I was like, this is a George tune. I was like, yeah, I just fell in love with that song. And I think it's just my favorite. Again, it's an uplifting tune and very spiritual.
How about the Wilburys?
Wilburys has got to be handled with care, hasn't it? That's just an awesome that and what's the other one, the light one,
Heading for the Light. Yeah, it's just would you guys ever consider doing any Wilburys tracks on your show, or is that too far out?
It might be for the particular flagship Fab Four show. Yeah. But we have done Wilbury songs during the festival, so a lot of the times when you're playing regularly throughout the year, you know, you'll have people come to the shows who aren't really big Beatle fans. And so throwing out something that is like kind of a B-side or something that is a little too far removed from the Beatles is kind of a gamble. Mm-hmm. Because you want to kind of stick to the hits, because they were hit songs for a reason. They were written really well and harmonies were awesome. And that's nothing against the other songs and the album tracks. It's just that there's reasons why there's hit songs and there's reason why there's album songs. And so you've got to kind of like try to net a lot of the people who've never seen a Beatle band before, you know, and every now and again we'll throw something out. But to answer your question, when we play the festivals, a lot of the people that go to festivals have heard all the hits from Beatle tribute bands, so they will want to go and hear something that they haven't heard. And so we'll throw out Wilbury's songs when we do the festivals.
Boy, the hits sure resonate. I know when I saw you guys at Disneyland, obviously before you joined the group, but it really took you through the timetable of the Beatles. What people can expect is the Beatles 64 through Sgt. Pepper through the White Album. Just an incredible show. How long is the show? What, about an hour?
About 90 minutes. Sometimes we'll do, it's about 75 to 90. And usually at the Mesa Arts Center, where we performed a few times, we usually do the full 90. because the audience is so great.
I know it's a little early, but do you ever perform any of the Fab Four Christmas album songs?
No, I never did it. So that came out before I joined the company. But occasionally around Christmas, I'll learn a few and we'll do them on television. So we've had a few requests to do some of them. So then I'll have to learn what Mike has done years ago. And the funny thing is, he's forgotten. So a lot of time I'm like, what did you play for the solo? And he's like, I don't know. You'll have to listen to it. And I have to go and listen to what he did on the record, you know.
What a gig. What a life. What a great time to bring Beatles music to folks that just still love it just as much as before, and kids who are getting into it too.
Oh yeah, the kids are getting into it. I mean, they've released, you know, the I don't know how much information on the Beatles we're going to have, because it's not infinite, is it? But there always seems to be something new coming out. So it's just, you know, I think the younger generation have been watching some of the one that was released on Disney Plus recently, the Get Back Sessions. You know, it's just amazing to see the guys go into a room with nothing and come out with an album like Let It Be. You know, it's just awesome. And I think it's inspiring for a lot of the younger generation, because they can go into a room and have a guitar or something and sing or put something together. You know, going into a room with nothing and coming out with something is just, I think that's the magic of music.
Did you collect all of the George Harrison proper guitars for the on-stage presence?
I did. The hardest one to find is obviously this was before Fender actually released the Rocky. You used to have to buy basically a Mexican Strat. If you had a little bit of money, you'd get an American one, which is a little bit better. But then you'd have to find someone to paint it and lacquer it. And so you always, whenever you got the Rocky, it always had to be bespoke. It always had to be made by someone. You know, whereas the other guitars, the SG, the Gretsch, Hofner basses, everything that we use, they've managed to be able to do a recreation of those guitars. And the only one that they didn't do for years was the Rocky. So I've got three Rockies that are made from three different people, and one shiny, and then it goes down to like a matte. So some are good for photographs and some are good for on stage, but that was the most difficult one to get.
We're glad you got it. We're glad you're coming to see us, and we're glad you're with a great group making great music. George from the Fab Four. It's actually Gavin Pring from Liverpool. You're still living in Liverpool?
No, I live in Rancho Cucamonga, okay. Which always gets the laugh from my friends when I ring up. You know, they're like, they don't believe it exists. They're like, what Rancho Cucamonga? You're messing around, aren't you? I'm like, no. Actually, but it's good to go home every now and again. When I go home to Liverpool, it's kind of like a vacation, because, you know, obviously I'm not living there, so everyone drops what they're doing to hang out with me, you know, like, and so I could feel that's what it's like all the time, but it isn't. You know, as soon as I'm home about 2 weeks, I'm like, I can't wait to come back to America. You know,
do they accuse you of picking up an American accent like they do some other friends of mine?
They do. And what happens is, I don't pick up the accent, but I pick up the terminology for things. So I usually get about 24 hours where my friends will say, right, you can get it all out. You can say, you know, pull over, or you can say a gas station, or you can say stuff like that, you know. And then after 24 hours, for everyone that you do, I owe them a shot, which can be quite expensive, you know, because I've been here for nearly 20 years. So then I'll say elevator by accident or something. I'll say, yeah, it's over by the elevator. And I'll be like, right, shot each. And it'll cost me a fortune.
You sound like a great guy. We will see you at Mesa Arts Center. Looking forward to it. Saturday night, October 22nd. Still some tickets available. And please, may I recommend everyone for a Christmas album. The Fab Four have two. Gavin wasn't on the first two, but if they ever do a third, he'll be there. Gavin Pring, who plays George with the Fab Four, thank you so much for your time, buddy, and we will see you there on the 22nd at the Mesa Arts Center.
Well, again, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.